I'm author Kat Clayton, and my curiosity quills the crime. In the spring of 2020, when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, I thought about different ways I could show gratitude to my readers. Should I write a new book in my series? Two books? Should I give away a novella or post a weekly serial story on my website? Well, I ended up writing the fourth book in my series, but I still needed a gift for my readers. I needed the idea to be different and innovative. I wanted it to be free, fun, and a way for listeners to pass the hours curled up in a comfy spot, sipping a warm beverage during such an unparalleled and difficult time. This podcast is the result of my efforts. Without further ado, here is my gift to you, dear readers. Get cozy and let me tell you a few stories. At the end of chapter one, we learn that Steely and Cuff have arrived at Scrub-A-Dub to look for Virgil, look for any clues regarding Samson's murder, and check the shop door. And despite all her hesitation, she musters up all her courage and decides to follow through with what she came here to do. Chapter 2. Staying hidden in the shadows, I crept across the street. When the spiked heel of my boot snagged a pothole, I tumbled over the curb and landed on all fours. Son of a gun! I couldn't help but shout out. Both knees collided with the sidewalk. Way to keep it on the down low, Steely. Cuff yelped. Sorry, boy. I patted my bag, trying to console him. Lucky for him, the bag never hit the ground. Cringing, I limped across the sidewalk and toward the wall of storefronts. My knees screamed under my jeans. I peeked inside the large pane window of Scrub-A-Dub. The front lobby was dark, not a soul in sight. With my back shimmied up against the cool glass, my fingers snaked along, searching for the rough brick wall that would lead me around to the back of the Baker building. As my eyes adjusted to the inky blackness, a quick movement in the shadows across the street caught my attention. I peered over at the Buckleville Bank. My pulse ticked up a notch. I could have sworn I'd seen something move. The hair on the back of my neck prickled, but when I surveyed the area, I saw nothing out of the ordinary. Probably just a stray cat, I said to myself.
I don't think so, Chiquita.
I reached up and softly massaged the lump on my head. It throbbed under my fingers.
You better get a move on it, Chiquita.
I stiffened when I heard something rustling across the street. Slinking out of the shadows, a figure emerged. Bathed in the dim light from the globe street lamp, Mr. Peters scampered down the sidewalk, his infamous double-barreled shotgun Patrice swinging at his side. Before I could even put two thoughts together, he disappeared into the dark night. Strange. Mr. Peters and Samson had been close friends. But in the past few days, there had been a lot of hushed, harsh exchanges between them. Daniel told me 3 nights ago he'd overheard the two of them arguing. I doubted a disagreement would lead to murder, so I didn't add Mr. Peters to a list of potential suspects. I felt my way down the length of the brick wall. The deserted streets of Buckleville at twilight reminded me of a long-forgotten ghost town. Or worse, a setting of some apocalyptic horror flick. If a tumbleweed rolls down the road, I am out of here. Junebugs swarmed the street lamps. One ricocheted and smacked the damp pavement beside me. With a squeal, I dashed toward the back of the building, away from the bugs and the dark street.
This could be dangerous, you know, Chiquita.
The tiny inside voice sounded very cartoonish. And what's with Chiquita? I am not a banana.
In my book, it's a term of endearment.
my book? Confused, I leaned against the brick wall and took 10 deep breaths. Get a grip. You came here to find out what happened to Samson and Virgil and to check out the shop. Clutching a concealed cuff to my chest, I unlocked the back door to the shop and entered. Virgil! I hollered. I stopped at the door that led upstairs and pulled it open. As I ducked under the yellow police tape, a creeping sensation scuttled up my spine. I couldn't chase away the thought. My place should be lit up like a baseball stadium during the World Series and buzzing with police activity. Ignoring thoughts of cobwebs and their eight-legged architects, I flipped on my keychain flashlight and crept up the shadowed stairway. Tears welled, and I swiped my eyes with the back of my hand. Poor Samson. Climbing one step at a time, I whistled. Virgil, are you up there? As I reached the top step, I spotted something in the corner. I trailed the beam of light over the small, rectangular object and recognized the distinct banana yellow wrapper. I picked up the smashed package of Wrigley's Juicy Fruit chewing gum and inspected it. Two single slices remained in the five-stick pack. I brought it to my nose and inhaled. The burst of sweetness smelled like summer. I shoved the pack of gum into my pocket. My first clue. Thunder rolled, closer this time. I paused, allowing my eyes to adjust to the darkness of the room. I shivered despite the stuffy warmth of the ominous atmosphere.
Where's Virgil?
Wrestling inside my bag, Cuff protested. His miniature body vibrated. The poor little thing always shivered. I know, boy. You hate storms. We'll only be a few more minutes, he whined. A scuffle came from behind me, down from the first floor. I paused, listening. My cheeks tingled with anxiety. Virgil? I said, waiting, hoping that the sweet beast would come bounding up the stairs. A few seconds passed without another sound or a charging Virgil. I wrestled with my thoughts and overlooked the flashing caution signal in my head and then swerved around my own hesitation. A little digging couldn't hurt.
Oh, it could hurt a lot, Chiquita.
What the heck? This voice is so strange.
Stranger things have happened.
This is just plumb crazy, I said. I hope talking out loud might help ground me in reality. Cuff growled and began thrashing like a mad dog inside the bag.
Chiquita, I am sensing trouble.
Calm down, little buddy, I said, patting the outside of the bag. I crept into the room and swept the tiny flashlight across the vast darkness. The crime scene tape stretched like haphazard birthday streamers in a crisscross pattern. Virgil? I said, my voice a harsh whisper.
Uh-oh, Chiquita. Don't look now.
Don't make another move, or I'll make your birth certificate a worthless document, a male voice growled behind me. The relentless stream of a flashlight attacked me, holding me hostage in its beam. Wincing, I raised my hands.
Don't shoot. I'm unarmed.
A raspy snarl escaped my handbag.
See, I told you, Chiquita. T-R-O-U-B-L-E.
I have seriously got to get my head checked. Steely? And then,
you've got to be kidding me.
Well, I knew the voice. Brandon Tripp, an officer at the police department, and Nick's best friend.
What the heck? Brandon asked again.
Blinding light flooded the room as the overhead fluorescence hummed to life. I stood statue still facing the dark window, wishing I could disappear.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home, I thought, clicking my boots together.
Oh, this is an odd, Chiquita.
It looks like we've got ourselves a juvenile trespasser here. Or is that Tinkerbell?
An unfamiliar voice said. I spun around.
I am not... Who are you? Officer Jackson, Buckleville PD, the good-looking guy said, who still had his gun pointed at me. My lungs pinched off my air supply.
Well, I need my...
my inhaler, don't shoot. I slowly reached inside my bag and grabbed my inhaler. I took two deep puffs and tossed it back inside with cuff. I put my hands back into the air. Brandon Tripp made a move first, motioning to the other officer to lower his weapon. What are you doing here, Steely? Too stunned to answer, I remained silent. The other officer visually scanned the room, holstered his pistol, and gave me a curt nod. His dark eyes traveled down the length of my body, stopping briefly at my boots. A smirk appeared on his face. His eyes journeyed back up to meet mine.
You can lower your hands, but you need to answer Officer Tripp's question, he said,
his voice like fine grit sandpaper over my skin. Gravelly, yet smooth. The corner of his mouth twitched.
And that question was?
I asked, lowering my hands to my sides.
What are you doing here? This is a crime scene, Brandon said.
Should I place her into custody? Officer Jackson asked.
Custody? My blood pressure spiked. He had some nerve. I pursed my lips.
This is my shop, and I have every right to be here. If this is a crime scene, then I, as the owner, should have been notified. And why are all the lights off? Why is nobody here investigating?
Without giving them a second to reply, I pointed my finger at the eager officer. No, you will not arrest me. I have done absolutely nothing wrong.
Officer Jackson, meet Steely Sue Lamar, daughter of former Chief Lamar, owner of this shop and our lieutenant's girlfriend, Brandon Tripp said to the other officer. And then he turned around to me.
Steely, the lights are off because we had to run back to the station after we cleared the deceased, but we still have a lot of work to do up here.
Officer Jackson took a step toward me, raising his left eyebrow. Dimples formed at the corners of his mouth.
She looks like a troublemaker to me.
I resent that statement. I am not a troublemaker, I said.
Brandon snorted. You mean you resemble that statement?
I cut my eyes at Brandon. Very professional.
Officer Tripp, I'm not sure how you do things around here, but back in the Corps, the MPs would have tossed her ass in the brig for interfering with the crime scene.
Now, only inches from me, Officer Jackson's midnight eyes danced. My lungs ached, and my heart fluttered like a trapped butterfly. As the spicy scent of cinnamon gum wafted around me, my legs jellied. I wanted to wave a little white flag and surrender myself to him. Instead, I took a step toward him, closing the space between us and jabbed a finger into his bulletproof chest.
That's ridiculous. And I'll tell Nick that you pointed a gun at me, even after Brandon identified me.
My heart pounded. I inhaled through my nose, trying to steady my heart rate and breathing.
Geez, he smelled good.
Your hormones are not helping the situation, Chiquita.
Well, I follow protocol, Buttercup, and I served with your boyfriend overseas, so I have a pretty good idea of how he works. And I'm fairly certain he'd agree. You shouldn't be here right now.
So go ahead. Tell him. Make my day. He sauntered off toward the doorway to the staircase and leaned against the wall.
Buttercup?
I think Buttercup is cute.
A buttercup is a tiny light pink weed. I am not a weed. Arguing with my own thoughts, a barrage of emotions bulldozed through me. Anger and resentment. Excitement. Frustration. Lust? The last one irritated me. I shouldn't be having feelings for anyone other than Nick.
I glared at the officer, my blood boiling. Officer Jackson is right, Steely. This is an active police investigation. You might destroy evidence.
Nick is going to be back soon, and he's going to be pissed when he finds you here, Brandon said, checking his watch.
You better think fast, Chiquita.
Well, I forgot something earlier when I closed the shop, so I came back up here to grab it. I adjusted the shoulder strap of my bag, feeling cuff rustling around. "So I'll just be on my way," I said, attempting to push through the testosterone barricade.
"What?" Brandon asked, tilting its head with curiosity.
What? I shrugged. Brandon crossed his arms and his brown, woolly caterpillar eyebrows arched on his forehead.
What did you come back for?
My eyes did a quick sweep of the room and landed on Grandma Gertie's cast iron skillet. It hung from a hook above the oven. "Gertie's frying pan," I said, dashing over and snatching it from the wall. "Sheesh, this sucker's heavy." Brandon frowned. "Put that down. It could be evidence." I set it down on the coffee table.
"Well, I doubt it. The skillet's hanging up just like Gertie left it. And besides, it's mine. Gertie said I could have it."
"Steely, you and I both know you don't cook," Brandon said and raised an eyebrow. I forced a smile.
"Well, since I've moved in with Nick, I should learn. Maybe I'll YouTube some cooking lessons.
I think Nick might pop the question soon." Across the room, Officer Jackson snorted.
"Well, you can just leave it here for now. You can have it later," Brandon said.
"Fine," I said.
"You better focus, Chiquita. How are you getting out of this mess?"
Brandon looked quite irritated, and this Jackson character was downright volatile. I honestly had no idea how I'd get out of this. Removing a small oil-stained rag from his pocket and his pistol from his holster, Officer Jackson polished his gun.
"You sure you weren't in here snooping around? Or maybe you committed the murder, and you're back here to erase anything that may point the investigation in your direction. I mean, even given your size and weight, you could have taken the victim with your hands tied behind your back. The guy was old as dirt," Jackson said.
"Is that supposed to be your version of a joke? I cannot tell you how unprofessional." Pinching my lips, I shot him my most evil glare.
"Never mind. Can I please go now?"
Jackson's eyes voyaged down to my feet and then flicked back up to mine. "Nice boots. I dig the camo."
"That's enough," Brandon said to Officer Jackson. Jackson's jaw clenched, and I wondered what he thought about taking commands from another officer of the same rank. He looked like he wanted to punch Brandon. I diffused the situation by changing the subject.
"So I saw a light on over at the bakery," I said. "Maybe the Shermack saw something?
And a few minutes ago, Mr. Peters was walking down the sidewalk with Patrice. Daniel, my partner, said the two of them had been arguing. Maybe Mr. Peters knows something."
"Wait, who's Patrice?" Officer Jackson asked.
"Peter's shotgun," I said. "He argues with his shotgun?" Officer Jackson asked.
"No, Mr. Peters and Samson had been arguing, for Pete's sake. Would you pay attention?"
Adrenaline coursed through my veins.
"The old guy carries the damn thing everywhere. No big deal," Brandon said, stepping over the yellow police tape. He moved toward me, firm yet friendly.
"Steely, that spiky red head of yours is going to get you in trouble. Come on, we need to get you out of here before Nick gets back with the fingerprinting kit." Cuff wrestled inside my bag, attempting to escape. I clamped the opening closed with my arm. Now was not the time for Cuff to be on the loose.
"It's a free country," I said, trying to ignore Cuff's wiggling around. The important matter now was Virgil. He is out there, somewhere, all alone.
"Would someone please tell me what's happened to Virgil?"
With a wheezy snort, Cuff popped out of my bag, eyes bugging, and panting like he'd swallowed a hot pepper.
"What the hell is that?" Jackson asked from across the room. "Is that supposed to be a dog?"
"Hey, you watch it, wise guy."
I looked at my pup and gave him a peculiar glance. It was almost as if... Nah, it couldn't be. Brandon laid a giant hand on my shoulder, looming over me in a big brother sort of way.
"Steely, let's go."
As Brandon led me to the door, Jackson blocked us.
"Sorry, Trip. I'm a stickler for the rules and the law, and it'll be our asses if we get caught letting her go. I'm calling it in."
"Dude, that's unnecessary," Brandon said.
"Yeah,
I said. Did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed today or something? I didn't even know the guy, and he already had it out for me. Cuff snarled. Officer Jackson tilted his head to the side as he pushed the call button on the radio attached to his shoulder.
Go ahead.
Nick's voice rang out over the officer's radios. He pushed the call button again.
Jackson here. You'd better head on back. I think you'll be very interested to see what we found.
10-4 en route, I heard Nick say. My entire body broke out in a full sweat. I had to do something and quick. I turned to Brandon. Maybe if I begged him, he'd force this jerk to let me go. Come on, Brandon. This is crazy. Just let me go.
I tried to make a break for it, and Officer Jackson blocked me. Not a chance. I've heard about you and the pipsqueak here meddling around in police business around the station, Jackson said, his stare disconcerting. I couldn't tell if he wanted to smack me or eat me for a midnight snack.
I glanced at Brandon. Please?
He shook his head. My hands are tied, Steely. I'm sorry.
But this is my shop. Samson was my friend. And all those other times you caught me, I had good reasons. Just like tonight, Brandon. I thought we were friends.
Can't you come up with something? Get creative. Lie. Jackson shook his head. I don't lie.
I gave him an icy glare, cold enough to freeze hell over twice. Steely, to be honest, I have to agree with Jackson. I have let you slide one too many times, and I can't keep lying to Nick. He's my supervisor, not to mention my best friend.
Brandon blinked apologetic brown eyes, running his fingers through his short wavy hair.
Well, thanks for nothing, I said to Brandon, and glanced toward the windows, listening to the sirens approaching and dreading Nick's reaction.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Are you curious about what happens next? Be sure to hit subscribe and tune in next Tuesday to find out. If you're enjoying the Cat Clayton Mysteries podcast, I would appreciate if you would rate and review so that other listeners can discover the podcast as well. Thank you for listening. Until next week, stay happy and sleuth on, my friends.